We encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We'll be looking at the verse several chapters on and off this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. We've got a good number out today. We have a number of visitors with us. Thank you for your presence. I'd imagine that we will have a number of people who will be traveling over the next week and have people coming in whom we love to see as we get ready for the holidays. God bless you if you are traveling. If you live in the community and there's anything that we can do to help you, we are certainly more than ready to step in and study with you, pray with you, do anything that we can to help you. Thanks for your presence here. Our sister Linda Herrick is here. She will be traveling back to Florida this afternoon. It has been bittersweet to see her at this time. Her grandson Christopher is with us as well. He visited with us a lot when he was younger, and he's with his grandmother today, and it's good to have him. And just so thankful to have all of you here today. Last week we studied from 1 John chapter 2. We studied the first point of our lesson this week, the spiritual lies that Satan tells us. And one of the lies, the first one we dealt with, was that you don't have to obey God. And the Word of God very firmly and clearly says that we are supposed to obey God. But why must we obey God? Now, that's a different question altogether. If you're of my generation and older and perhaps a little younger, you didn't have to be told why you have to obey. I mean, I grew up in a home where I understood when my mom and dad said something, I did what they said. Why? Because they were mom and dad. Now, I'm not saying I obeyed perfectly, but I still understood the need to obey. Sadly enough, in a lot of ways, that need to obey is being lost today. Why? Well, we're becoming a more self-willed society, and we want to do what we want to do, and this can affect people my age and older. And we've also been given a belief system that puts God aside, saying there is no God, and if there's no God, then there's no right and there's no wrong, there are no rules that have to be obeyed, you just do whatever you think is best within your life. And so as we look at the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And it's telling wise ways to live, ways that are time-honored and proven, ways that if we follow them, we're just going to have a better life. And it's set up within the construct of a father who is speaking to his son, telling his son about how he is to listen to him and obey him and do what his father tells him to do. And in some ways, it is very much a type or a shadow of what our relationship is to God, our Father. So as you read through this, you hear of a father speaking to his son, and that is certainly applicable between parents and children, but there is a broader lesson here. And that broader lesson is the lesson from God the Father speaking to his children so that we will obey, because he gives us the choice. Every one of us, as we live our life, we have to choose every day whether we will obey or not. And there are a lot of days you're going to choose not to obey God. There are a lot of days you're going to want to do whatever you want to do. But God in His Word seeks to encourage us through wisdom to follow Him. And so what we find in the book of Proverbs are several reasons why we should obey God. I want to deal with five of those this morning. The first is found in chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And that is that obedience is expected. It is expected. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. When we think about why we need to obey God, the very first reason is just a very fundamental reason, and that is, it is expected of us. The writer of Proverbs speaks to his son, and he said, my son. He is appealing there to a family relationship, and that family relationship is that of a son who ought to listen to his father. I mean, that is a universal principle, right? You go into any culture at all, throughout time, there has been that understanding that children ought to obey their parents. It was first codified in the Word of God in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20, where children were told to obey their parents, and there was a reason given there, so that your days may be long on the earth. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 quoted the same fact. It is that when you see your parents who have done so much for you, they have brought you into the world, they have sacrificed for you, It is right for you to submit yourself to them and to honor them. And the same thing is true with our God. In the book of Exodus, when God gave the Ten Commandments, we find this in verse 2. God said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Before God gave the Ten Commandments and He began to reason with them, this is why you need to obey me. He said, you need to obey me because I am the Lord. When you and I start thinking about what God has asked of us, and we start asking ourselves whether we will submit or not, we need to realize that He's God. Favorite quote I've gathered over the last several months is this one from an old radio preacher named J. Vernon McGee. He said, this is God's universe and He does things God, His way. Now, you may know a better way of doing things, but you don't have a universe. Okay? Now, here's a news flash. You're not God. Okay? Now, you may think that you want to live any way that you want to live, and there's a sense in which you have the right to do that. You can choose how you want to live, but you're not God. And the universe doesn't revolve around you, or what you want, or what your desires are. God made you, God made me, and God fashioned us for a reason and for a purpose, and God wants to use us to accomplish those purposes because they are good. And the only way you and I will function properly in life to our fullest capability is when we submit to God. You think about maybe an F-16 or an F-22 fighter. This billion-dollar machine. Powerful. Magnificent. But if something's not right within that plane, it will not submit itself to the pilot, and the pilot cannot use it to its 100% capabilities. And the same thing's true with us. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're a cog in this great machine that God has created. And you're an important cog. But the only way you will accomplish what God wants is if you submit. And so Ecclesiastes tells us, fear God. Keep His commandments. That's why you were made. It is your duty. It is your expectation to submit to Him. Because one day you're going to face God. Now, if you don't want to obey God, and if you can fashion in your mind some way in which there is no God, and that God doesn't exist, and you can live like that, then you go right ahead. You have that right. But if you know there's a God, you've got to square yourself with this reality. You'll stand before Him one day. And you need to obey Him. Because if you do not obey Him, you'll lose your soul. And you'll go to hell. It's pretty basic and fundamental. What else does this verse tell us? Second thing. Obedience leads to blessings. Again, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your neck and chains about your neck. All right? The proper writer here tells us that when you listen to God, God's commands are going to be precious to you, and they'll lead to blessings in your life. This idea of graceful ornaments and chains, that was what those who were well off and those who were royal wore. There are two ways you and I learn in life. You may listen and absorb information and act upon that information. Or you can learn the hard way. I mean, it's that old television trope, we can do things the easy way or the hard way. And God lays that before us, and He says, there's an easy way this is going to work, or there's a hard way. God wants us to take the easy way. God wants to bless us within our lives. You may think, well, you know, blessings, we really shouldn't think about blessings. We ought to obey just because it's right. Well, you know, maybe we should, but the fact of the matter is we don't, and we need to be given incentive, and one of the incentives that God gives over and over again is blessings. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. God is speaking to Cain when Cain was at that pivotal moment where he knew what he wanted to do and maybe he knew what he shouldn't do. And God's warning him, says, you better think about this, Cain. You better think where you're at. And God said this, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul surveying the course of his life. said this, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul said, "I'm thinking about that crown of righteousness that's going to be there, and that was before him, and he acted appropriately because of that." And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said, "But love your enemies," that's the command. "Do good," that's the command. "Lend," that's the command. "Hoping for nothing in return," that's the command. But why? "And your reward will be great." You see that? And we could look at dozens of other passages that make it very clear that when you obey God, there is a reward for you. Now, what is this reward? Looking in Luke chapter 6, "And you'll be called the sons of the Most High." Heaven's a wonderful place that's prescribed in Scripture. It's a place where there is no sorrow, no heartache. But it's a place where we will be in the presence of God forever. And to the child of God, that's the reward you and I long for. God wants to bless us with a home in heaven one day. And generally, it is true that when you and I obey God, we will have a better life, even here. And I say generally. I know the Apostle Paul said that if we live a righteous life, we will face persecution. But the Word of God is also clear that there's a sense in which when you act the way you're supposed to, you're going to have a better reputation. You're going to get yourself in less trouble in life. You're going to have a better life. There will be hardships. He's not saying everything's going to be rosy and perfect all the time. But he is saying that when you live the way you're supposed to live, things are going to go better for you. And when you live that way, you're going to be at more peace. Look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life," listen, "and peace they will add to you." You get that last part? When you strive to live a life of obedience, you're going to have more of a peaceful life. Peaceful with those around you, but also a peace of mind. Chapter 4. Verses 14 through 19, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Listen to verse 18. "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter." That's the way that life goes when you live the way you're supposed to. And you don't have to worry about that guilty conscience. That's a tough thing. One of the stories I heard growing up was the story between my two oldest brothers, Jay and Mike. They were probably 9 and 10 years old at the time. Jay was the oldest. One of the rules in my parents' house was, if you get a spanking at school, you're going to get one when you get home, too. Well, Mike, the younger of the two, got a spanking. But he didn't tell Mom and Dad when he got home. He kept his mouth shut because my oldest brother, Jay, told him to keep his mouth shut. My oldest brother Jay's an elder now, by the way. Okay. But Jay said, "Don't tell him." So Mike didn't tell him. And that night they were sleeping in the same bed and Mike was just tossing and turning around. And Jay goes, "What in the world is wrong with you?" Mike said, "I just feel horrible. I got to go tell Mom and Dad." Jay goes, "No, don't tell him. You're crazy if you tell him." And Mike stayed in bed for a little while longer. He goes, I got to go tell him. And so he went and told Mom and Dad, and he did the right thing. He got a spanking. But he didn't have a guilty conscience anymore, right? You want to know what a guilty conscience feels like? Look in Psalm 32. And all of us have had this. Tell me if this is not true. Verse 3 and verse 4 of Psalm 2. "When I slept, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Here it seems that this was after the sin of Bathsheba. But David was heavy. Why? Because he had a guilty conscience. And that's the way it feels, right? In Proverbs again, chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, the writer reminds us that when we live the way we're supposed to live, we don't have to worry about those things. Verse 23, when you live, verse 21, by wisdom and discretion, verse 23, then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You know, when you're living the way you're supposed to live, you don't have to worry about getting a DUI. You don't have to worry about getting a ticket of some kind. You don't have to worry about being arrested. You don't have to be afraid that you're going to have a doctor tell you you've got a sexually transmitted disease because you're living the way you're supposed to live. When you're faithful to your spouse, you don't have to be afraid of an affair. You don't have to be afraid of something coming out. You don't have to be afraid of someone finding out about your Ashley Madison account because you don't have one. You're just living the way you're supposed to live. And there's a sense of peace that comes. In contrast to that, number three, disobedience very clearly brings hardship and sorrow. The text that Tristan shared with us a few moments ago, beginning in verse 10, is the text where a father is telling his son, be careful who you're hanging around because in the end they're going to get you in trouble. You and I need to understand that when we live this life, while God gives us choices, we'll answer for those choices one day. And so in chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, the proverb writer said this, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. You don't have to go very far in life before you realize this is true. All you have to do is turn on the television. I don't know if you saw over the last week, Charlie Sheen, who is an actor, came out and admitted that he has HIV. Now, this comes after he admits he slept with hundreds of women. And he has been extorted millions of dollars. So he's lost a lot of money. He will eventually likely lose his life. And very possibly, he has infected a lot of women with the same thing. He's got to live with that. Boy, he's living the dream, right? Got a lot of money, sexual variety out there, but he has destroyed his life. Recently, Lamar Odom, former Los Angeles Lakers basketball player, was found unconscious at a sex party because he took a herbal supplement. Messes life up. Lindsay Lohan, the poster child of train wreck stars, finds herself constantly in trouble because she cannot control her alcohol use or her behavior on a regular basis. And so she's just ruined her career. You look at someone like Robin Williams, a comedic, great, funny, hilarious, brilliant. A year ago, 2 years ago, took his own life, broke. And then someone by the name of Amy Winehouse, a singer, died of drug-related causes. Millions of dollars. She had $10 million when she died. I mean, she had it all, right? I mean, by our standards, it's gone. And then several years ago, Heath Ledger, who is so well known for being the Joker in one of the Batman movies, drug-related death. A life that was just going downhill. And the point is that sin will always be enticing. I get that. I know that. I understand that. I relate to that. But it's not going to lead you where you think it will lead you. At least not ultimately. And we can look at all these celebrities and we see that, but we can also look at people in our own lives, right? You young people, are there kids at school that have gotten in trouble because they were drinking? Probably, right? As you get older, you're going to find some of your classmates going to jail. You're going to go, wow. Maybe sometimes you'll say, I saw that coming. Maybe sometimes you'll go, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen to them. Sometimes we bear the repercussions of sins that have been growing in our life for a long time. Sometimes we bear the repercussions of sins that just sort of come up, but they take us over very quickly. Okay. Sometimes someone finds themselves caught up suddenly in pornography or caught up suddenly in alcohol or drugs, and their life, which seemed to be so controlled, is now spiraling out of control. Sometimes we see someone who is suddenly, their life changes because they're pregnant. And they're out of wedlock. And I know that they can turn that around and thank God for that. Thank God in all these cases His mercy and grace is there, because we may find ourselves there sometimes. But life changes. And it becomes more difficult. And we've all known people who have made choices that have not only messed their life up, but it's messed up the lives of other people, sometimes in demonstrative ways, sometimes in subtle ways. But the point is, when you and I give ourselves over to disobedience, there will be a price to pay one day. I think the song is from the 50s, but there was a song, I Fought the Law, and the law won. Back in my day in the 80s, John Cougar had the song, I Fight Authority, but Authority Always Wins. God is the law, and God is authority, and He will always win. And you can fight against that all you want. Everybody here, you can fight against that all you want. You can bow your back up. You can stomp your feet. But you'll lose your soul one day if you don't turn to God. And when you turn to God, you begin to see the wisdom of what He says. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the psalmist said, My son, if you receive my words and treasure your commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, you get the idea. He's saying, look, if you listen to me and you apply yourself and you do what you're supposed to do, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know what he's saying is that if you do what you're supposed to do, if you live the way you're supposed to live, if you watch your P's and Q's, you eat all your vegetables, not really, but I'm just working with something right now. Okay. But if you live the way you're supposed to live, you give that a period of time, you'll start to realize things are going better for you, and you'll start to realize God's pretty smart in what He does and what He's commanded. You'll begin to look at God, you'll begin to fear Him, and you'll begin to reverence Him, and you'll begin to respect Him, and you'll begin to say, boy, I need to listen to Him more. This is working out pretty good so far. We have in our culture today a word that we use a lot, and that is mentors. A mentor is someone who is a role model for us. They are someone of great wisdom, and we listen to them. They have an interest in us, we have an interest in them, and we just sit back and we want to sit at their feet and we want to drink it in. My mentor would be Brother Paul. When Brother Paul says, I want to talk to you about something, I'm going to listen to him. Because I respect his wisdom, I respect where he's been in life, and even at the moment if I don't agree with him, I'm going to listen because my history with him has been, when he says something, it's pretty much going to be true. When I catch that, even if I don't agree at the moment, which is rare, Brother Paul, but even if I don't agree at the moment, give it time and it'll probably be true. Because I respect him.
I honor him. And I listen. And the same thing is true when it comes to us and our God. When you begin to live your life in a way that seeks to please Him, you begin to understand that God only desires what is best for us. We look oftentimes at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord commanded us to observe all His statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is to this day. But that's not the only place it's found. It's found in chapter 10, verse 13. But you have the same message in Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say to the righteous that it will be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Jeremiah 32, verse 39. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. For the good of them. And then, of course, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the things that you need, clothes, food, everything, shelter. God says, I'll take care of you, but you've got to make sure you listen to me. And then things will work out for you. God wants what's best for you. And when we begin to obey, we begin to see His wisdom, and we begin to see that His wisdom works. And this is important when I face a command that I don't want to follow. When I'm in that moment where there's that temptation to steal, or there's that temptation to lie, and I begin to think, wait a minute. God has instructed me well so far, and now He's telling me not to do this. I got to rein myself in. I got to pull myself in. In that moment, ladies, when a guy at work approaches you and because of problems in your marriage, suddenly it's enticing. Or men, a woman approaches you and everything in your being is going, I got to go for this. But you start thinking, wait, God's been good to me. And everything He's told me is true. And His knowledge that He gives is wonderful and is right. I've got to get away from this. And then you move past it and you begin to see other people who's wrecked their lives by doing what you were tempted to do at the moment. And then you just sit back and go, thank you, God. You're right. Always, always right. The more we obey, the more we begin to appreciate His wisdom. And we just continue to obey. I mean, it's just the path that you see. It is just the great path to follow down. And one more lesson, and we'll close the sermon for this morning. And this is just an obvious one as well. And that is, ultimately, obedience is to be motivated by love. Again, looking at chapter 1, verse 8, my son. Earlier we talked about it from the standpoint of authority and what is right, but here we also see that Solomon is appealing to his son to listen to him because of that family tie. As a father, Solomon had always been motivated by the love of his love for his children and what he did. And it was expected for his kids to sit back and say, wow, you know, Dad's done a lot of good things for me, and he's really shown that he cared for me. I want to obey him because I love him. And one of the things that I've learned as a father, when your children are young, you can motivate their obedience by punishment. But there gets to a point in life where it's harder to motivate them that way. And you hope that the lesson they've gotten is that they want to obey you because they love you. When we consider everything that God has done for us, what God has done for you, how He has blessed you, and how He has been patient with you time and time again, you and I need to look at Him and we ought to say, He is our Father and I'm going to obey Him because I love Him. We think so often about John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God so loved the world. And the Apostle Paul reminded us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. All these other things will be so important within our life, but at the end of the day, as we mature as a Christian, what ought to motivate us is God has been so very good to us. Beloved, I don't care what your perception is of heaven, it will pale in comparison to the real thing. I mean, there's no way in mortal language, you can capture the glory of what heaven will be like. And when you're baptized, you're not earning heaven. When you're obeying Him, you're not earning heaven. It is a reward to those who come to God, but He longs to give it. And I'll tell you this, I don't care what the temptation is that will come your way. When your eyes open in heaven for the first time, heaven will be worth everything. And whatever you sacrificed on earth won't even cross your mind ever again. So what do we see as we look here through the book of Proverbs? We find motivations to obey. Not just the command, but reasons why. Some of those reasons are for self-preservation, and they're there, and you need to think about that. If that's the only thing that motivates you right now, you need to consider that. God wants you to obey Him because He wants you to be with Him in heaven forever, and if you do not obey Him, you're going to lose your soul. You can come here all you want, but if you're not obeying God, you will lose your soul one day. But isn't it wonderful to know that you need to obey Him because God wants you with Him? And in this book, He's told you how to live. I don't think this was cheating so much, what I'm about to tell you in school, but if I had a test in third period, and I had a friend that took that same test in first period, you know what I did? Pulled my friend aside, said, "Hey, what was on that test?" I felt like it was sort of public knowledge at that point. You know, I wasn't like breaking into the teacher's desk, but I did think, why would I not talk to my buddy and ask him what was on the test so I could get an idea of what I was going to be accountable for and make sure that I'd really gotten that information in there. Well, here's the beautiful thing. Here's the information from God. You want to know what you're going to be judged by one day? There's no surprise here. This is it. Obey it. And God help us all. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, how wonderful You are. We just reflect now upon while You do call us to obey You, Your call for us to obey is for our good. Dear Father, help us. Help us to realize that. Help us all to know that while in some ways being self-willed is part of who we are right now, it's only going to hurt us in the end. Thank You, dear Father. Thank You so much for guiding us, for giving this incredible book to us by which we may know what You expect of us. Thank You so much. For even when we fail to obey You, if we turn to You and if we are repentful because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we may have salvation. Your Father, the gift of salvation and the gift of Your Word is something that is not nearly as precious to us as it should be. But help us to trust You and to obey You. And as we do that, dear Father, help us to just rejoice every day. We ask for Your blessings, dear Father. We pray that everyone here will examine our heart so that we may make sure that we're living in a way that pleases You. Thank You, dear Father. We ask this in Your Son's name, and amen. Why do you need to obey God? Obedience is expected of us. Obedience leads to blessings. Disobedience brings hardship and sorrow. Obedience helps us to appreciate God's wisdom more, and obedience is motivated by love. We want to appeal to everyone this morning. Let us be a people who obey God. We have a lot of flaws and a lot of faults. I understand that. But when we see those flaws and faults, let us put them aside by God's grace, repent of them. If this morning you need to become a child of God, you've lived on your own, you're ready to put that aside, you're ready to start becoming His child and living for Him, the water is ready, and you may be baptized this morning, all your sins washed away. What an incredible thought that is. And if you're a child of God, you've been playing a game so far, and realize this morning that game will end and you will lose. Turn to the God this morning who has instructed you and gently entices you to obey Him. He'll forgive you. And if you sinned against us in any way, we'll forgive you. Turn to God and become His child. Be a faithful child of God. Is there anything we can do to help you this morning? We encourage you to come now while we stand, while we sing for you.